Welcome, friends. Today's guest, Olivier Melnyk, President and Executive Director of Shalom in Messiah Ministries. Can't wait to catch up with him next on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
The website is shalominmessiah.com, shalominmessiah.com. And a previous book, there he is, there's Olivier, a previous book that we talked about is The Normalization of Antisemitism, When the Longest Hatred Becomes the New Normal. That was written just about a year and a half ago. But I'm going to bring in Olivier now and see if he's got anything else in the works. Brother, so good to see you. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, David, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure being on your show. And no topic off limits. I mean, there's nothing off limits. I mean, this is a dangerous introduction.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know what our guests know, other than profanity, which, you know, that goes without saying with the biblical worldview, anything, we should be able to talk about anything because what we found, Olivier, and anti-Semitism and Israel are two big topics that most pastors are not talking about. So no topic off limits. The pulpits aren't really pro-Israel necessarily. So would you, before we talk about what you've got coming up in October, talk about how we need more pulpits to openly defend Israel and the Jewish people.
Yeah. So what we've seen is that October 7, 2023. The terrorist attack on Israel out of Gaza, and you know, we're still dealing with it as the hostages started to slowly come back. I mean, only just a few right now come back to Israel. We've seen the opposite of what really we should expect in a normal world, but we don't live in a normal world. the world, instead of coming to the rescue of Israel and reaching out and helping, there's been this increased animosity, and you've seen it on campuses, you've seen it from Hollywood, you've seen it from different organizations, from different governments, and even as you started talking about churches, it was amazing to me the number of churches, some of them who call themselves Christian churches and even evangelical churches, who actually did not find time or desire to pray for Israel at all on or after October 7th. It was like, it's not really something we need to spend any time on. And it shows you the state of affairs when it comes to how the world, including Christians, are handling their relationship with Israel, which I think is a clear clue of where we are in the end times.
Well, we talked before we got on the air here on the podcast, we talked a little bit about the fact that we often overlook the spiritual dimension here and that this is a satanic agenda, this hatred. Oftentimes what we see being played out is an irrational hatred of the Jews. And if you look at college campuses, unfortunately in America, I would guess a majority of those kids, and I can call them kids because we're older, a majority of those kids cannot even explain why they support Hamas or the Palestinians and are against the Jews. It is irrational because it's demonic, and you can't explain that aside from going to the Bible. Hello, Worldview Matters. Going to the Bible and saying, oh, what does God say about Israel, about his chosen people? Go ahead, Olivier. I'm sure you'd have a lot to say about that.
Well, let me start with this, and I'm sure I've mentioned that in a previous podcast of yours, but my working definition for anti-Semitism is actually exactly that. I start with those two words. Anti-Semitism is the satanic and irrational, or I should actually change it to satanic, thus irrational hatred of the Jewish people in Israel, characterized by thoughts, words, and or deeds against them. Hmm. So It is irrational. I absolutely agreed with you. It is irrational because it is satanic, because only Satan, the father of lies, as the Bible calls him, can make something that is irrational sound and look very rational so that people would buy it and go like, hey, this is the truth. You have people in some parts of the world who have never seen a Jewish person, never encountered, never interacted with a Jewish person, and yet they hate the Jews. I understand racism. I don't agree with racism, but I understand that racism in human nature, you know, people look different. They sound different. We don't like them. You interact with them, whatever. It's wrong, but there is an interaction and a decision that, okay, I don't like this person because of this. But in the case of the Jewish people, you don't even have to have met one or know one or interacted with one. Antisemitism is that irrational that you would hate the Jews even having never met one.
So let's go back to the church now, because we were talking about just out in public and the leftist, Marxist-driven college campuses and everything that they're about. But let's talk about Christians now, because you mentioned that early on. A lot of churches did not pray for Israel, did not mention after October 7, the attacks in 2023. And it was, I guess, not, we shouldn't be surprised, but it was disappointing and astounding, but that shows the lack of understanding of the true biblical teachings and whether or not Christians should support Israel. And so go ahead.
No, I was going to say the narrative has been slowly changed. You know, I've been in Jewish ministry for, you know, over 30 years now. And I remember calling churches to ask, hey, would you like us to come and visit and speak on the topic of Israel and Jewish people and end times? And the churches would be extremely receptive. We'd go, oh, yeah, we'd love that. We support Israel. We love Israel. And over the last 10, 15 years, this has been constantly, increasingly, exponentially decreasing, where now you have to call a lot of churches to get a church to say, I'd love to have you come and speak. And so the churches are, David, I believe that in the end times, where I think that's where we are right now, in the end times, the final divisive factor is going to be on the church, within the church, within the evangelical church, is going to be those who support Israel and those who reject Israel. As a current event right now, we see it already happening as a precursor of what will take place during the 7-year tribulation, illustrated by the passage about the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, 31 through 40 something. 35 through, I don't have the exact address, but the parable of the sheep and the goat, where those who helped the Jews did the same as loving on Messiah Jesus himself, and those who rejected the Jews and rejected the Messiah. So we're seeing this playing out right now, and where some people within the church, pastors or people attending the church, are not interested in recognizing Israel and acknowledging, supporting, praying for, or even at this time where anti-Semitism is so growing right now, even coming to the rescue of Jewish people, as our ministry is trying to prepare Christians to do, rescuing and sheltering Jewish people. There's a lack of interest in that, which is part of what I put in my book that you mentioned earlier, The Normalization of Anti-Semitism.
This is why your ministry is so important, because of the direction of the world, but unfortunately, maybe even the church to some degree. And loving the Jewish people is one of the most natural things a Christian should do. Jesus is Jewish. You know, I mean, we forget. I don't know. I think there's a disconnect there somehow.
Well, right? the biggest embarrassment for Christians once they realize that is that when they say, well, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm just anti-Israel or anti-Zionist, but I don't hate the Jews. I don't wish them anything, any harm, but really anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are synonymous. But when I quote the beginning of Psalm 83 to a Christian, I said, do you realize this, that, listen to this, when Asaph talks about the enemies of Israel, he said, they make shrewd plans against your people, talking to God here, and talking to God about your people, the Jewish people. They conspire together against your treasured one, and saying, come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. And then here's the verse 5. Christians should take heed. It says, for they have conspired together with one heart. Against you, they cut a covenant. So those who conspire against Israel are really slapping God in the face.
Yes.
They're conspiring against God. So you cannot be a Christian. I got to be careful how I say that. But you cannot be a Christian in good standing with God, in the will of God, if you do not love Israel, because when you hate Israel, you hate God. So what does that say?
Yeah,
I don't. It's what it says.
Wait, was that 93 Psalm 93?
Psalm 83.
83. Okay. Just people wanted to look that up after. So above all, I think we touched on this, but it's so important to remember. This goes way back in the pages of Scripture. Satan has tried to come against the line of, the descendants of Abraham and the descendants and David's line. He knew Scripture. He knew where the Messiah was, prophetically supposed to come from. And so there's been a battle, a spiritual dimension to this that we have to remember. At the heart of anti-Semitism, this is all rooted in the resistance against God, as you said, and his plan of redemption for all mankind. That's the resistance. Satan is the first rebel, the first one of that resistance, right? The demonic resistance.
Yes, and it starts in Genesis 3:15 with the very first messianic prophecy, and it goes all throughout the entire tapestry of Scripture, prophecy after prophecy. Satan knows from the very beginning, from the third chapter of the Bible, Satan is told by God that he's going to be defeated and he's going to amount to nothing and he's going to end up in the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity, to suffer for the rest of eternity. And he knows that that's going to happen when Jesus comes back to establish his messianic kingdom, the millennial kingdom on earth for 1,000 years before the eternal order. And he knows that happens then. So he's going like, hey, I got two chances, first coming, second coming. So first coming, he tried to corrupt the line of Messiah so that the Messiah would not come through Genesis 6 and other passages. And maybe if we get rid of him, the Jews won't call on him. But, first coming was just the death and resurrection. And then there's going to be a second coming. And now he's going like, if the Jews don't call Yeshua, Jesus, at the end of the tribulation, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is you, comes in the name of the Lord. If they don't do that, he doesn't come back. If he doesn't come back, I'm out of, my job is secure. I don't go to the lake of fire. That's what he's trying right now. So he's trying to turn the Jews against Jesus and turn the whole world against the Jews and try to get rid of all the Jews so they will not have the possibility of verbally calling upon the one who they have pierced.
It's interesting how this, it's so clear from Scripture.
I mean,
if you're a student of the Bible, that is, if you handle the Word of God accurately and understand and discern, it is very clear what's playing out now, what's manifesting in the natural when it comes to the Middle East or college campuses in America. But we've got a couple minutes before we take our brief pause here. Pope Francis recently came out and it looked like he vilified the Jewish state. According to World Israel News, in an address a few weeks ago, he said he castigated the Jewish state over what he described as the shameful humanitarian conditions in the Gaza Strip during the ongoing war against Hamas. And then his speech had some accusations, I would say false accusations, against Israel, reportedly including claims that the Jewish state is bombing civilians and leaving Gazan children to freeze to death. And he appealed for a ceasefire, of course. Before we take our brief pause, Olivier, would you care to respond to that?
David, the best way to spot a false dollar bill is to know very, very well what a real one looks like. I'm just going to give you factual truth. Jews in Israel, the Israeli government, they're accused of killing Palestinians in Gaza in large numbers. They're accused, really, by not just by the Pope, but the Pope has come up to join ranks to accuse Israel of committing genocide. Let me just say this: genocide is, according to the definition of what genocide is, it's the killing, the organized killing of a people group. And to qualify as genocide, the people group has to be eliminated by at least 25%. So 25% of the people need to be killed at that time. Then it becomes it qualifies as genocide. And here's an interesting fact. In 2024, it was recognized that the Palestinians in Gaza, just in Gaza, grew by 2.02%. So 2% is really not that much. It's a small growth.
But it's still growing.
But it's 27% over the number that it should, 25% is what they should have been reduced by to be genocide, for it to be a genocide. It was not a genocide. They're not committing genocide. We know that, but that's not what the world is telling us. It's unfortunate.
Yep. All right. We've got to take a brief pause. Olivier Melnick's website is shalominmessiah.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about three main reasons to support a one-state solution in the Middle East. That's next.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Family in Christ, if you'd like to listen to our show via audio podcast, we'd love for you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It does help the show rise in the rankings. And you can also subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo on YouTube. Thanks for helping us grow Rumble as well. Olivier, before we get to this, you did this video a couple weeks ago, roughly a week or so ago, on the Jewish one-state solution. And I thought that was very, very good, and we're going to lay that out in just a minute. But we talked before the podcast, you do have a new book coming out in October. Tell us about that briefly.
Yes, this is it's a major update to my biggest work I had done that came out, I believe, in 2008. So it's a major, or 18, I forgot. No, 2018, sorry. It's a major update to that work, End Times Antisemitism. So the book is going to be called the Antisemitism in the End Times. And that's the old one. That's the new one right there. And it's going to be a major update that's going to take us all the way to all the way really and beyond October 7, 2023. Bringing the reader to the current affairs, the current state of anti-Semitism, and also hopefully bringing some suggestion on how to handle it, how to fight it, and how to make a difference as Christians to reach out and help the Jewish community.
Awesome.
It comes out on the second anniversary of October 7th, on October 7th, 2025, through Harvest House Publishers. Yeah.
October 7th this year, friends. Look for that. Okay, so set this up for us, Olivia. I love that cover, by the way. It's simple, but the way the typeset and the colors, just beautiful. Olivier, set this up for us. You felt you were compelled to do this video where you were explaining and contrasting the one state versus the two state solution. And you mentioned it's the final solution. But you have some main reasons that you need to emphasize the one state solution in the Middle East. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the one state solution, if you look at the title, and I'm looking at the article on my website, because I don't want to say anything that I can't back up. So I got to remind myself of what I wrote. But so it's you know, I call it three reasons to support a Jewish one-state solution. And the reason why I put the word Jewish is because if you have a Jewish one-state solution, Arabs will be welcome in it. If you have an Arab or Palestinian one-state solution, the only way that would survive or exist is through the complete eradication of the Jewish people, which is what's been tried really since 1948, you know, so the many, many wars. So, you know, the one state solution or even the two state solution that even some people within even within the current government. And I don't, you know, to be honest with you, David, as of today, I mean, it's only been just like a just short while since Donald Trump came back for a second term. And we know he's a friend of Israel. We know that. But he's making some decisions that I'm not sure are the absolute best for Israel or for the U.S. But, you know, I don't know where he stands exactly on the one state, two state. Okay. It's a little foggy right now. But those who believe in a two state solution don't understand that the two state solution is really based on what you could call the Muslim ideology of as long as we're not in power, we are friendly. But then when we are in the majority, we take over and we become the only option. So a two-state solution with Palestine / Israel would really be an invitation to a final solution for the Jews. Let's get let's give the Palestinian more territory, more power, more political pull to the point where they will get to a place where they can get rid of all the Jews, which they're trying to do right now, even though they're not in that position.
Right.
So the Jewish one-state solution, the first thing I posit is that, biblically speaking, really, when you go back to the scriptures, starting with the Abrahamic covenant, the land was given to Israel, not to quote unquote Palestine, which is a word that was added in the first century and moving forward. So the land was given to the Jews. It doesn't make the Arabs lesser people. It doesn't make the Arabs bad people. It makes the fact that God said to the Jews, I give this land, end of story. But salvation is for all. The land of Israel is for the Jews. Salvation is available to everybody. And it's important to remember that it's not just about a piece of land. At the end of the day, what's the most important for everybody is salvation and eternal life in the presence of God. And that's available to Jews and Arabs and everybody else, no matter what, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So we need to keep that in the back of our mind. So number one, biblically speaking, it's important to understand that the land was given to Israel, to the Jewish people. And one thing that a lot of people don't comment on, David, in Deuteronomy, a book that most people read regularly, of course, I'm tongue-in-cheek here, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, amazing, God is telling Israel that he's giving land to Israel, but then he says, don't take any more land. I'd love that when he says, you are going to pass through the territory of your brothers, the son of Esau, who lived in Seir, and they will be afraid of you, so be very careful. Do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as little as a footstep, because I've given it to Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. Why is that important? Because right there, twice, later in the same chapter, in verse 19, he repeats it with another people group. God is telling Israel, I've given you the boundaries of the land, in Genesis 15. It's going to be big, twice the size of Texas. That's going to be realized in the millennial kingdom. But he's telling Israel, don't try to take another inch. I've given you I'm giving you. You know, Islam takes over the whole world, makes a caliphate. They take land, it's theirs. They take more and more and more. They never stop until they have the whole planet. Israel was given boundaries, which they don't have yet. But God is saying, I'm not giving you any more. That's very important. It's specific. It belongs to Israel. And why is it a big deal? Leave it alone. It's just such a small sliver of land. But again, it's connecting it back to Satan wanting to get his agenda fulfilled as opposed to God's plan.
Well, you also mentioned the point, and we're running out of time quickly here. So you can go to the article at shalominmessiah.com, friends. Three reasons to support a Jewish one-state solution. Israel must secure its borders. What? So, I mean, every country, every nation has the right to defend itself and secure its borders. I know some people in America haven't agreed with that, but go ahead and share more about that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Israel has to secure the borders, and what they've done is that in some parts of the land they've built this wall, which is really not a wall like you see the Great Wall of China or anything like that. And most of it is actually just a fence, and people are accusing Israel of, you know, being an apartheid country because they're building a wall to separate the rest of the people, to keep the Palestinians out of Israel. But really, in the case of apartheid in South Africa, the apartheid was created to keep the people, to separate the people. But in the case of the wall in Israel, the wall is also it's mainly to keep the Jewish people, the Israelis, safe. I mean, it is a separation, but it's to keep them safe. It's not to hurt the people on the outside. It's to protect the people on the inside. And you have to protect the borders. Right now, there's a big concern that the ceasefire in Gaza is reopening the southern border, the Philadelphia corridor, allowing for rearmament and, you know, and replenishment of Hamas during that ceasefire time. So time will tell, but this is not a good thing.
Yeah, so I do want to say what we were kind of alluding to earlier about President Trump. No man is perfect, and no one's policies are 100% perfect. He has been a supporter of Israel and a friend of Netanyahu. But we need to remember, yes, he's back in office. Great. We can be thankful for that America has a little bit more time to get going in the right direction. But our hope is squarely in the one who placed President Trump there, who put Netanyahu in place for these times. And policies, you know, are going to be debated, and a lot's going to be playing out even this year. I think a lot's going to play out. It's going to be very fascinating to watch. Olivier, we will, Lord willing, do this again in the near future. Just appreciate your time, and God bless you, brother. Peace. Shalom.
Shalom. God bless.
Thank you. So friends, we'll have him back on probably a couple times before his new book comes out in October. But thanks again for sharing, really for your prayers. That's helped us and helped me continue. And we just have just outstanding guests. I'm so proud of the guest lineup we have here on Worldview Matters. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.